0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move on through this busy old week of European action. Celtic are held to a 0-0 draw away to Dinamo Zagreb, meaning they probably need one more point to progress in the Champions League. Ange Postecoglou is back in Glasgow as Rangers get ready to host Spurs tomorrow, and Hearts are on their way to Copenhagen before it all makes way for the League Cup final on Sunday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Simon Donnelly to give away the tricks of the trade. A Simon Donnelly who made it into that seat about 25 seconds ago, maximum. You had a stressful afternoon, have you?
It's all about timing. I don't know what's going on out there on the roads.
You're even grayer than I saw you last.
Chaos out there, absolute chaos.
Catch your breath. You're right.
Yes, I'm fine.
Do you want Ross to start? Are you okay?
No. What you want to talk about? The game last night?
Your traffic, whatever, you take it away.
No. The game last night, obviously. Looked at some reactions today online. Kind of mixed reactions. It's quite funny. An away point in the Champions League is always deemed as a decent result. I think Celtic were in control most of the game. It really looked like a home game at times with Zagreb sitting in. But yeah, I think sometimes you just feel it might have been a wee opportunity. If they'd just been a wee bit sharper in that final third, it never clicked on the night. But as I say, a point's not to be sniffed at.
I have to say, Ross, you two are spoiled rotten, because we're going to look back, of course, on that game last night. In terms of looking ahead to a game only 24 hours or so away from Rangers, Spurs, Ange Postecoglou, that is an absolute cracker, isn't it?
Yeah, it just adds a little bit more spice to it, doesn't it? But no, listen, I've heard numerous things, people saying it's a good time to play Spurs and what have you, but it's not, is it? It don't matter when you play Spurs, because, like you said, they said they were awful against Chelsea. They were unbelievable for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If they produce that sort of, you know, game at Ibrox, they could be out of sight. Hopefully they're not for our game. But no, there's no good time to play any of the top teams in the Premier League, for sure.
And in case you've forgotten, it's the League Cup final on Sunday as well. So this all feeds into that, really, doesn't it? This one game at a time, malarkey, that goes out the window here, because it's all part of a bigger picture. So come on down then, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, how do you feel about last night? How would you sum up the performance? How would you sum up the result? Is it a good point on the road? Is it an opportunity missed? Let us know, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, pick your team for tomorrow. And whilst I go and have a coughing fit, do one of you two want to just carry on? I'm about to have one of those bad moments on radio. So just you.
Listen, there's games coming thick and fast. I think the game tomorrow night, Ange Postecoglou back in town. I think the way things are going, as Ross says there, he's quite right. You know, there's no real good time to play a team of that quality. However, I think, you know, Ange's under pressure himself, so I think they'll field a strong team tomorrow. But it's a battle of Britain, and Rangers' form has been decent of late, especially in Europe, so it should be a real good game.
Yeah, and of course, as we said, Ross, part of it is about Sunday, let's be honest, because Rangers don't desperately need this in terms of the pot. It's not like they need to win the game to stay in Europe. Their points total's fine. They still want to make a good account of themselves, yeah, but they go Thursday, Sunday, so you just wonder what the balancing act looks like between the two.
Yeah, it's all right saying that they don't need the points for this game, but can you imagine if you flip it round the other way and he makes five or six changes and Spurs turn up and they wipe the floor with him? Doesn't look good at all. They've got the confidence going into Sunday, which will probably be slightly fragile as it is, knowing fine well what Celtic can offer. I think he's got to go full strength both games. There's no resting anyone. There's no giving anyone minutes. No chance. You need to go full throttle here.
Right, we're going to go through it all between now and 8 o'clock. So please do give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, we're going to cross over live to Ibrox pretty soon. We're going to hear from Ange Postecoglou. Not said that in the show in a while. Going to hear from Philippe Clement. So get your thoughts lined up. Let's start with last night just before we do that. So Celtic fans, it's pretty simple. How do you feel about last night? Does it feel like a good point and a clean sheet away from home? Or does it feel like an opportunity missed? Which players turned up? Which players didn't? And how does it all look ahead of Sunday? Give us a call right now if you can. Let's fire through these different talking points. with military precision, because there's a lot to get through. So Celtic fans, right now if you can, what did you make of last night? Good point or missed opportunity? Simon, you were covering the game, I assume.
I was, yeah.
And which camp do you lean towards?
It's very split. It's even split in my house. I came into the house last night and my three sons were super critical of Celtic, and I was like, listen guys, it's another point towards where they want to be. It's a point away from home. Yes, Celtic were far from their best, but they controlled the game reasonably well against a team that maybe were showing Celtic a bit of respect and were looking as if they were content for a point, playing in with a shape there that was hard to break down. But I just think Celtic at times are a wee bit careless, not clicking at their very best. And another night they could have won it, but then you look to Schmeichel's save at the death, you know. So Celtic walk away with a point. I think they can be reasonably satisfied. They've got young boys to come. They can put that Champions League campaign on the back burner now till after the new year, and they go into that in a really good position.
Where do you sit, Ross, between the good point and missed opportunity?
I'm probably a little bit different to Sid, to be honest. I can understand the first half performance, you know, when they want to assert their control in the game. But I think in the second half, I think it was there for the taking. I think it was begging for Celtic to go and, yeah, you know, take it by the scruff of the necks and go and win the game and put this to bed. Because, let's be honest, young boys are going to come to Park, they ain't going to roll over. So they're going to have to get a point there, because if they don't, then you're away to Aston Villa, and we know what Villa are like.
I think you would have taken... We always talk about the home games. Now, I know they've dropped points to Bruges at home, who got another decent result last night, but they've pretty much did that. And anything on the road, I just think if you were asking Celtic fans, because the young boys, if it's a win, they're qualified, more or less, I reckon.
Well, a draw would do it, I think, yeah.
Good point, if you gave any Celtic fan that at the start of the game, especially two games in, with the disappointment of the Dortmund game.
We'll answer them then, why don't you? 01419511025. Call right now if you can. Celtic fans, as we said, is it a good point and a clean sheet on the road, or is it a missed opportunity? Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says they lacked quality in the final third, but says the disappointment shows the progression that they've made.
Yeah, I think the positive is that we come away again and we're defensively strong. Didn't concede, which is, like you say, when you have that confidence to do that in Europe, it really helps you as you make your steps forward. I thought we lacked quality, if I'm honest, in the final third of the pitch. We had progressed the game well enough. We got into some really good areas. The pitch was a little bit tricky but I think in terms of both teams, I think when I arrived into the final third, there wasn't, and I think you can see that by the shots on target that we had. So that was the only downside for the game for us. We had a great energy, we had a good commitment, but either was a little bit loose with our pass or just didn't quite make that moment count. So that was the only downside. But like I say, it's if you're in the Champions League and you get a clean sheet and take a point away from home and you're not very happy, then that shows you how much and how far the group is progressing, or the team is.
Agree with that? Disagree with that? Do please let us know. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Sam is the first caller through from Shawlands. How do you feel about last night, Sam?
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for having us on. Yeah, no, I think I was just saying to your producer there, I think you can kind of view last night both ways. I think if you'd asked me before the game last night, would you have taken a draw, I'd have bit your hand off for it, because it moves you further forward, you've got another point, and really only kind of needing one more win to get through. However, I think the way that the game played out last night, and also kind of what Zagreb showed that they were all about, I think it can be viewed as well. It's kind of been a missed opportunity. As Ross was saying earlier on, I think it was crying out for somebody in Celtic, somebody like Coon or Maeda, to just grab it by the scruff of the neck and to try and even just get a goal, nick a goal, to take the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, is there room for a bit of praise to Zagreb? Ross, were they quite stubborn defensively, or is it mostly Celtic's failings creatively?
Listen, there's a bit of both. But like Sam's saying there, I just feel the way it was playing out in the second half was just, you know, it was just begging for someone to take the game by the scruff of the neck, whether that be from the sidelines or, you know, yeah, a more senior personality on the pitch, just to say, no, listen, the point's not good enough here, we can go and get this win. But it didn't come. But it was interesting when Brendan's talking about the quality there. I think with Celtic, that goes hand in hand with they are aggressive on the game. See, when it's nice and easy for them and stuff, then yeah, the quality might not be there. But I think when they go and get after teams, that's when the quality your forward players are at it and the quality comes. Yeah, yeah.
Good way of looking at it, I suppose. Simon, what do you put, if Brendan Rodgers saying slight lack of creativity, what is that down to for you? Is that individuals that had off nights?
Yeah, I think a little bit of that. I mean, we had a caller on last week talking about Hitati, and you know, for me,
he'll be back on the night.
He probably will be. Hitati, for me, over the piece, has been excellent for Celtic. He tries to be creative, but his game was just off last night, and that happens. You know, creative players, he's trying to play things, trying to make things happen. Decision making in the game, he'd won just before half time where I thought he could have taken the shot on, and he's tried to play it maybe because of the way the game was going for him. Safety to, I think it was Kuna Bernardo on the right hand side, and he got that pass a little bit wrong. And then just before he gets subbed, there was a couple of times he got away from his man. I think he was complaining for a fault. The game just didn't go for him last night. I think that was a wee bit, happened for too many players last night. Look at Kuna, a decent effort just into the second half that was blocked. And then you look at the one at the end where the boy clears it when we think it's going through to Ida, mm-hmm, after James Forrest played. Sometimes you just aren't at it. I mean, I'm not making excuses. Brendan Rodgers brought up the surface as well. Sometimes it just doesn't click. It doesn't click, and last night it didn't. I know what Ross is saying, because I commentated in the game, and I actually made maybe that comment during the midway through the second half. The game was there to be won. You know, I thought the game was there to be won, but Celtic, for whatever reason, just couldn't get it right in that final third last night.
Is that sometimes the difference, Sam, between your ideas before a game and then how they evolve when you actually just see it? Because you're right, I think everybody before the game, you offered the point, clean sheet, you would have taken it. But once you get a look at Zagreb, and no disrespect to them, they were beatable, weren't they?
Absolutely. As I say, I think last night was all about getting at least a point and progressing further and at least giving yourself a chance to go through. But as you say, watching the game about 20 minutes in, the kind of possession that we had, albeit not creating very many chances, I did think that this team are here to be beaten. They're not really offering much going forward.
Is that where the frustration comes from? Because it can work the other way, Ross. Sometimes we see teams in Europe, I think Bruges became a good example of this, where you maybe get hung up if it's not a glamorous name or whatever, and we're bad for that. You then see them and you think, oh, actually, do you know what? These are good sides. Look at the way they're operating. But you wouldn't have said that about Zagreb last night. I mean, to be fair, defensively, as we said, but not much more than that.
Yeah, listen, I was personally expecting a bit more from them, to be honest. You think, for everyone saying how good Celtic starts being the Champions League, they had 8 points. Zagreb had 7.
Yeah.
So they're no mugs. Mm. But as I said, I just feel as if the way the game panned out, Simon will tell you, you react to things on the pitch. There would have been someone on that pitch who must have thought to herself, right, we can take these here. But it just didn't feel as if it just got going for whatever reason.
It didn't. It didn't. And again, going back to the game, Celtic get into some good positions at times and nothing materialised from it. Whether it was like the Hitati one I was talking about, I think Alistair Johnson got to the byline, overdid the cross. Kuhn was at the byline, the keeper stopped. They just couldn't get that final bit right in their play, which probably would have resulted in 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, is there any individuals in particular that you thought struggled or weren't up to speed the way you hoped they would be?
I wouldn't say it was necessarily individuals. I felt like the team as a whole, I felt watching them, and again, I don't feel that this was intentional, I just felt like they never really got out of second gear. I don't know if that's maybe subconscious, that they know a draw is still a good result and can definitely push them forward. I don't know. I would like to think footballers, when they're on a pitch, are always trying to win. But I think there was just too many people last night that weren't prepared to, I don't know, like Kuhn, for example. You've seen him do it enough this season in the league and the Champions League, where he's got the ball and he's beat a man, he's either cut inside and found a pass, or he's had a goal himself. it just didn't really open up last night for any players on that pitch. And as he's mentioned earlier on, I felt like Hatate creatively kind of made the wrong decisions. There was one, I think Simon mentioned earlier on, he could have hit it. I think I shouted at the telly as well to hit it, yeah. And he didn't. And he's trying to make a pass. I think there was too many moments like that, maybe overthinking it in the final third.
Oh, there's nothing better than when a fan base collectively shouts "hit it" yeah. from home. By the way, never mind the stadium. I can just imagine various houses across Glasgow and the West. Sam was in Shawlands. Thanks to Sam for sharing his thoughts. What about Barry, who's on the other line? What's your take on it all, Barry?
How are you doing, team?
Good.
Well, my question is to Simon. I feel that Greg Taylor, his position play leaves a lot to be desired, because when I watched the game last night, many times he's getting the ball and he's cutting into the middle of the park, not playing like a connecting point like Alistair Johnson and Kuhn are doing. And when you look at the left-hand side, the left-back position, he's cutting forward, cutting into the middle of the park, playing side passes or a backwards pass. Most of the time he's playing a backwards pass, and I wonder what Simon thinks about that.
Well, you're not sure what his instruction within the team is, because Greg Taylor, for me, covering the Celtic games for the last few seasons, you wouldn't say takes up the orthodox position of a left back. I mean, Ange Postecoglou, they wanted him to pick it up, and he picks it up in an area last week against Aberdeen, where he gets an assist for the goal. So you don't know the instruction. You don't know what.
See, to be fair, I think you do.
By design.
There's no way he's not in there by accident.
No.
Fullbacks are not in there because they fancy a wander, especially Celtic. And but to use Barry's comparison
with the other side,
I think that is the way Celtic tend to do it. It's not that Johnson never comes in, but I think they know his sort of running power, so he stays wider and Taylor is the one that comes in.
I think he links up with Maeda as well, and you're talking about running power with Maeda. At times he has to fill in at the back for Greg Taylor as well, but I think it's a position that we've grew familiar, you know, where he picks it up. He was picking up, I covered the game against Hibs at the weekend, and he's on the right hand side, similar area to where his assist against Aberdeen was. So I don't think there's any big difference in his performance last night specifically.
Ross, what's your take on it? Because we said it's by design, there's no doubt about it.
No, it's definitely by design. I think the reason why they do it is, if Greg Taylor wanders inside to a sort of number six central midfield position, nine times out of ten the winger's going to come in with him. That then leaves the full flank for Maeda. And how many times does Maeda then get it and he's already faced up with a fullback one-on-one? That's why they do it. I think it's, like you said, running power with Johnston and Kuhn. That's more of a sort of partnership.
The overlaps and all that stuff.
If you like a partnership. But I think it's by design with Greg Taylor. And by the way, I can't get my head round the criticism that he gets. I think we're very guilty.
I would say as well, I mean, Barry's making the point there as well. I don't really remember that causing too many issues within the game. He might say that Barry might not be happy that he was passing it back a wee bit more than going forward, but I don't think it caused any real issues. I don't think at any time Celtic were under pressure.
Is it a bit of an easy target, Barry, because Greg Taylor, like Simon alluded to, he comes in the pitch and sets up the goal that wins the game against Aberdeen. The night that Celtic beat Leipzig, Greg Taylor did the same thing. He was in the pitch loads because that's what he's told to do. But then when Celtic don't have a good night or don't have a good result, that's what's blamed.
Well, when you look at how Hibs, on the early chances that they had at the start of the game, that left-back position, where was Greg Taylor? He's not got that connectivity with Maeda. And Maeda, like last night, was relying on the ball for Hatate or one of the other midfielders. Greg Taylor's got his moments where he can put a pass in, but that's when he's out in the left. But see, when he's in that middle of the park.
But it's not. That's the point. Think of the Aberdeen game. If anything, he's over. He's nearly on the right side. He's right in the pitch, and he chips it over the top for Hatate.
I see where you're going, but it's like a left back should be a left back, shouldn't he?
Yeah, but no, not now, because if he's in there, Ross, it's because Brendan Rodgers has told him to be.
Now, it creates an overload. That what it then does, it gives you a box in there, and it gives you your, if it's whether it be Ingles or Bernardo, Hatate, whoever's in there, gives you then them two advanced midfield players with McGregor, with Taylor, them two creating a box for an overload. That's essentially what it's doing. Mm. And also, it's giving you a big advantage on the left side as well when it gets switched early to Maeda. Because if you give him the ball early, he'll take anyone 1v1. He's already shown that.
Okay, you can agree to disagree on that, no problem. Thank you for giving us a call. Barry, 01419511025. Celtic fans, where are you last night? Good point or missed opportunity? And of course, we're going to preview tomorrow night at Ibrox as well. So keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here on 0141 951 1025. Give us your thoughts on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, looking back on Celtic last night and of course previewing Rangers Spurs tomorrow. So let's do it all. Michael is in Warrington. How's it going, Michael?
Yeah, not bad, lads. Thanks very much for having me.
Not a problem. What's your take on last night?
Yeah, I was saying to the producer there, you know, it's a fairly decent result. The performance was absolutely awful in my opinion, but it's not the end of the world. You know, a draw, that's fairly okay. I find myself recently, you know, streaming at the stream at Rio Hitati, and it's becoming too often that he's a bit of a hindrance. You just don't know what Rio Hitati's going to turn up just now. He's an amazing player, I'll give you that. He's an absolute amazing player. And when he's on, he can be world class. I mean, some of the passes he can play can be world class. But at that level, too many times, not only is he giving the ball away a hell of a lot, but it's in the position of the part that he's also giving it away. I'm surprised it's not cost us more already. Maybe the Dortmund game we could probably look at that has cost a few of his passes, but it's just to see what you think about it. You know, there was a boy on a couple of weeks ago, I think, and he said that he wouldn't mind Tatty leaving. I don't know if I agree with that, but I can kind of see where he came from. I just don't know if he maybe got across to you in the way he wanted to. But I can see the frustration that people may have with him due to the fact that you know, he's just far too careless on the ball too often.
Let's go last night, because clearly that's what sparked him. So before we get to the bigger picture, was Rio Hitati poor last night? Was he below his standards?
Well, it depends what standards you look at, because there is some games where his standards have been exceptionally high. But he sort of, you know, he wasn't any different to sort of anyone else for me. It was just one of them games where not really much happened. It was quite, dare I say it, but it was quite boring, actually. It was not much happened. I just wanted more excitement. But for me, Hitati is, I love watching him. I think he's a midfielder who gets it on the half turn. I love it when he takes that first touch round the corner and stuff. He's something completely different to sort of the other midfielders. But like I said there at the break, you need to be careful the words that they use, because to say Celtic were awful when they've controlled more or less 90 minutes in a Champions League game away from home, I mean, how many times that happened over the last however many years? It doesn't usually happen with Scottish teams, I think. Just be careful. I think, yes, wasn't a great performance. It was a decent result. I think, as I said earlier, the game was crying out for someone to take it by the scruff of the neck. But then don't criticise players for trying something different, because that's what you're asking them to do, in a sense. So, like I said, just be careful with the words that we use. They weren't awful, but it wasn't their best.
Rio Hitati, you'll remember, Michael's referenced him.
Yeah, I do remember.
I don't think anyone's going as far as Rio Hitati is not very good and should be sold, but...
No.
Is he... Where is his form at just now?
He did off night. As Ross says, I don't think midfield to front really clicked at all for Celtic. But I'll forgive that kind of performance, knowing that he's quite capable of going at the weekend and winning the final in the middle of the park for Celtic with his performance. I've seen it in the Champions League this year. I've seen it over the time he's been at the club, goals against Rangers at the start. I think he's a top player, and I think it's a strong area of the park where when I look at the side, I'm not overly disappointed. Whatever Brendan Rodgers goes with, whatever three, excuse me, I feel when they perform at their levels that we've seen them perform at, you know, they'll put in a performance. He had an off night, and I could watch the game and I could probably sympathise with him as long as the game was going, because he maybe starts to try a wee bit too hard. He starts making the wrong decisions on the back of maybe what's went previous. And I could see the frustration in him just before he got taken off. You know, there was a couple of times he actually did a little bit of nice play and got away from the defender. It could have been a foul. And then he was taken off and you could see the frustration. However, he could quite easily come in on Sunday and be the match winner. That's the quality the guy's got.
Is this, Michael, coming to a head more because Celtic have got midfield options and it's starting to not become clear for you and maybe other fans as to what the best three is?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I still think, I need to reiterate, I think that Hatate is an amazing player. I really do, and like Simon's saying there, I think he's got that magic in him that not many players have, and I think that's where the frustration comes from, because you see him play an outside of the pass, 40 yards sort of through ball with Kyogo 1 minute, but then he can't do a basic 5 yard pass the next. So it's the frustration of that. I don't want to be too critical of him, and I probably was a bit strong with the awful. They weren't great last night, to be fair, but as I said, the draw is fine. That we can deal with that. But put it this way, you've got the boy McGowan coming on to replace him, and with his form recently, he has got creativity as well, but you also know he's going to protect the ball better than what Hatate potentially could do. So I don't know who I would play on Sunday, but it's just recently I've been becoming very frustrated watching Hatate.
Must be hard for these midfielders, Ross, and I'm not saying the others are ultra safe, but just generally, if you've got Hatate in it, it's because you know he's going to try things and try and find difficult passes. Now, obviously, when they don't come off, that's when you look a bit daft. I wonder if he is the type that maybe you wouldn't realise what you've got till it's gone, sort of thing. You know, if you do replace him with someone that's safer all the time, yeah, they might not give it away as much, but do you get the same high level when it does come off?
Well, that's it, 100%. You bring someone in who's a lot safer on the ball, I bet you within two or three games they're calling for Hatate to be put back in, because he's not trying these sort of, not expansive passes, because a lot of them ain't really, you know, expansive, but he is trying something different. And especially this season at Celtic, nearly every team that they play against are sitting in.
Yep.
You need someone to take a chance. Yep. If you're just passing it side to side, nothing's going to open up. Yep. You need someone to try something different. And Simon said it earlier, and he's 100% spot on. I'm more than willing to forgive Hatate for not an awful performance, but you know, an off night, because you know for a fact that he's capable of winning new games regularly, as he has done.
But is there a debate there, Simon? And I'm sure we'll get to this with a cup final round the corner, because at the start it was a sort of, okay, McGregor's nailed on, I still think that's the case, everybody knows that. Then for a while it became Hatate plays and Engels, but then people wanted Bernardo in. But now people are maybe saying McCowan as well.
Yeah.
Is there a conversation to be had?
It's a good conversation. Of course there is. There's a debate to be had, because it's a strong area of Celtic's team. And as I said a minute ago, I honestly pick up the Celtic team, whether I'm doing the game or I'm watching as a supporter, and I'm not really, it's never a go, all right, so-and-so's not playing.
But as an example, is Hatate still nailed on to play on Sunday for you?
I wouldn't say he's nailed on. I wouldn't say he's nailed on.
You think he is, Ross?
I think so, yes. Yeah. I think he is. Okay. But I tell you what it is, and I can say this from experience, I've been on the bench a lot. If you're a forward-thinking player, it's a lot easier to come on for the last 25 minutes and influence a game and catch people's eyes. And that's what's happening.
I like that insight there. It says that I've been on the bench a lot. I like that.
They call me the judge.
Self-deprecating, I like that. Right, thanks very much to Michael, who's down in Warrington. What about Thomas, a bit closer in Coke Bridge? Thomas, the sort of simple debate is that a good point or a missed opportunity? Which one do you go for?
100% a good point. I say, how many times have Celtic went away from home expected to take 3 points and come away with nothing? I say, the game last night, and you've got to take into consideration, Zagreb were only a point behind us. So they're needing to win as well. So that probably made the game as dire as it was. But the other thing I wanted to say was, we've been undefeated in the last four European games against Bruges, Zagreb, Leipzig and Atalanta. Celtic have not done that since 1986, been unbeaten in four consecutive games. So last night, as much as the game wasn't the greatest and some of the players didn't perform, and I hope that's a bad game out so that on Sunday, they'll turn up on Sunday. But I think it's a great point and it's still in Celtic's hands to get through.
Is there something in that, a sort of, whether it is a maturity or a progression in Europe, call it what you want, Simon, where generally, and I know we keep saying it, we're not saying Zagreb were brilliant, but generally Celtic's off nights away in Europe would usually result in defeat.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where they've been over the last good number of years.
They controlled the game, but it could have, the guy's headers, maybe the best chance
but
in the game.
But that's what I mean, if you're off nights now,
a point
ending in 0-0 draws, is that a sign of progression in a way?
I think there is. And honestly, I can't remember what the caller said, or what caller said it earlier on, that if you'd offered them a draw at the start of the game, yes, the way the game materialised, and we all watch it and we're saying, this team possibly are here for the taking, but you would have taken a point. I would have taken a point last night, and it's not looking at, I know Dynamo Zagreb got a hammering off Bayern Munich, it can happen. Celtic took a heavy defeat against Dortmund earlier in the campaign. I think they won two away games in the Champions League, I'm not sure who they were playing, but as Ross said there, they're a point behind. So going away from home, yeah, Celtic might look at it. It might be a reflection on how far they've came, that we're sitting here saying it could have been 3 points, but they've got the point. It's another point closer to what they wanted to achieve at the start.
Yeah, Ross, and I think it's funny because in the last few nights I've kind of been saying you don't always look at it on paper, because sometimes these Champions League teams just turn up and they're good, and what they've done previously might not matter. Having said that, Young Boys, I suppose, let's go back to that thing you hear. If you can't beat Young Boys at home, or even further, if you can't get a point against Young Boys at home, you probably don't deserve to go through, because there are only three teams in the entire this league phase 36 that have got no points. Mm. Young Boys are one of them.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think a lot of people probably, when the fixtures get announced, a lot of people would have looked at it and probably thought, this is Celtic's probably best chance and the last X amount of years because of the fixtures. But like Simon said before, and like yours, you've still got to go and win them games. Sure. You don't get an easy game in the Champions League.
No.
And like I say, a point away from home last night is not to be sniffed at, especially when you're not at your best. Because like you said, in recent years, you know, a 10% off at Celtic tend to lose away from home in Europe.
Thomas, are you confident of still getting the job done you're in a good place? In the group,
I think we're in a fantastic place. See if we don't beat Young Boys, then it's down to us. It's not down to anybody else. It's in our hands. And to be honest, we still go away to Aston Villa. And if we play the correct tactics in Aston Villa, we could come away with something there as well, because they might have been qualified by that time. But I think you know, I mean, see the lot of guys who have come on and had a go at Hatai and Greg Taylor. I think they're bang out of order, because I think Celtic, they're not going to play brilliant every game. So guys will have an off night.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Thomas, who's putting a more positive spin on thing, which is absolutely fine. Rangers fans, this is the time to get involved, because we, after I tell you about something very important, we're going to go live to Ibrox. We're going to hear from a reporter there. We're going to get the thoughts of Ange Postecoglou, Philippe Clement, and you, most importantly. How are you feeling about tomorrow? Can Rangers do it? Would you rest any players ahead of Sunday? Give us a call and we'll speak to you after this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
You're running out of time. We're giving you the chance to go to the League Cup final at Hampden on Sunday, all thanks to Cash for Kids, a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for the Celtic fans and a pair for the Rangers fans as well. That comes with lounge access in the main stand, some of the best seats in the house, and all the other bells and whistles that go along with that. And all you need to do is enter our raffle with all the money going to Cash for Kids. What a good arrangement that is. So, for your chance to win,
Two tickets, text Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901. You have to do it before 8pm on Thursday. So it's 8pm tomorrow. You're running out of time. The text costs one standard network rate message plus a £10 donation to Cash for Kids, and every penny of that goes straight back to children that need your help. So it's over 18s only. The T's and C's are on the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. So a quick reminder, do it quickly. Do not run out of time on this. Text Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormack are here. We're looking back on last night's game in Zagreb and of course tomorrow at Ibrox. So give us a call right now, Rangers fans. How do you see it going? Can you do it? Would you rest players ahead of the cup game? Any Ange Postecoglou fanatics still out there? I don't know, do you exist in Glasgow in the West? What do you think that adds to the occasion? 01419511025 is the number that you need. So come on down right now whilst we cross over to Ibrox and speak to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Gabriel, you've just been in Ange Postecoglou's press conference. There's a sentence I've not said in a while. You and him used to get on so famously as well when he was the Celtic manager. How was he tonight?
Yeah, that's right, Gordon. It was surreal to hear such a familiar voice sitting here in front of us in a Tottenham tracksuit. Of course, a lot of anticipation upon his return, given his history with Celtic, and from us in the press as well, given his dealings with the media. And as you say, me and him used to get on famously. But he did acknowledge us, the typical, "All right, mate, how you doing?" At the start of the press conference. But he was in a good mood, looking forward to tomorrow. He didn't look like the man that is under the pressure that he is down south in England at the moment. And he said he knows exactly what kind of reception he'll get, that he's always enjoyed it here, and that he kind of revels in the atmosphere, fiery atmosphere, like European nights at Ibrox. Of course, he had a good record against Rangers, won 6 out of 11 Old Firms and 5 out of 6 trophies when he was here. But Postecoglou said he knows how tough Rangers will be. He pointed at the fact that he was the manager at the other side of the city when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst took Rangers all the way to the Europa League final. Postecoglou also talking about the injury crisis that his team are going through at the moment. So expect quite a changed Tottenham 11 tomorrow night. As I touched on, he's seriously under pressure down in North London. 1 win in 7. It feels like fans are starting to turn on him. How big a win here tomorrow could be for him, we'll have to wait and see. But also for progression in Europe as well. These two teams are currently joint on 10 points. Only goal difference separating them. Rangers slightly ahead and currently in the top 8. So yes, Gordon, huge game tomorrow night.
Which of his many star players are missing? Because a few went off injured against Chelsea at the weekend. So give the Rangers fans some good news if there is any.
Yeah, well, the goalkeeper, Guglielmo Vicario, will be missing. He's long-term. So Fraser Forster, former Celtic keeper as well, he'll be in goal. The first choice centre-halves, Mickey van der Ven and Christian Romero, also out, as is Ben Davies. So Postecoglou pretty much confirmed that it'll be Radu Dragosan, who we also just spoke to, and the teenager Archie Gray at centre-half. So the spine of his team really decimated, with a few midfielders could be missing as well. Although Bentancourt will be back from his ban, and James Maddison, once of Aberdeen, he scored against Rangers back in 2016. He's likely to start in midfield. So still star players in there, but the spine of that Spurs team severely lacking.
And what about the team news, if you like, or suggestions from Philippe Clement? Because you've spoken to him as well today. What's he thinking about the cup final being around the corner?
Yeah, really interesting, Gordon, to speak to Clement today, because of course he's got that League Cup final. He said he doesn't want to entertain it at all at the moment. The full focus has to be on Spurs, or if they start to look at Celtic, they will lose focus of this Europa League game, and it will cost them on Sunday as well at Hampden. But he did say that because the two fixtures are so close together, unlike Celtic, who of course played last night, they've got 48 hours extra recovery in their legs. he's going to have to make some changes with the two games in mind. Danilo, Yanis, Hadji, we all know, are unavailable for Europe, so they won't be playing tomorrow night. They'll be fresh for the weekend, but it is highly unlikely that Rangers field very similar 11s across the 2 days.
What does that mean to you Rangers fans? Give us a call. And see, in terms of this notion that Ange Postecoglou is under pressure, Spurs aren't in a great place, was that reflected? Was there a lot of English media there giving him a particular grilling, or was it not quite like that?
Yeah, there were a lot of English media here as well. There was a lot of talk about Christian Romero's comments that he made in the aftermath of the 4-3 defeat against Chelsea on Sunday, saying that Spurs need to be more like Chelsea, City and Liverpool. Postecoglou said it's something they deal with in-house. He didn't really seem like a man too under pressure. I mean, perhaps he wasn't at his easy, free-flowing best, but it was something that we saw at Celtic as well. If you remember back when he first joined in the summer of 2021, he lost 3 of his first 6 league games here, and the media were onto him a bit, and he was very defensive, and then it came good in the end, as we all know. I think the main concern for Spurs is that it's happening in this second season. Postecoglou's famous line, "I always win things in the second season," doesn't look like it at the moment. But we do, what we've been hearing from our colleagues down south, is that Daniel Levy, the chairman and the person, the big boss down at Spurs, isn't looking to make a change at the moment. So I don't think anything will be imminent, irrespective of what happens at Ibrox tomorrow night.
Well, there you are, Rangers fans. The notion that you could put the final nail in Ange Postecoglou's coffin might be a bit far off yet. Let's thank Gabriel for his time and bring in Stuart, who's a Rangers fan. What are you thinking ahead of this one, Stuart?
Well, first and foremost, I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow night. I'll be going. What I will say about it is I feel as if that we are more than capable of beating Spurs. I was actually down in London at the Roma Spurs game a few weeks ago, and from what I saw, we're more than capable of beating them. But what I want to know, and what I want the panel to answer, is are we capable of beating Celtic on Sunday? Because I don't think we are, and I don't think we've got the minerals to go there and beat them. And it's time we did. So what I want to know is what the panel thinks about that.
So you think the more chance of Rangers winning tomorrow than Sunday?
Yes. Okay. I think Rangers are a totally different team in Europe. They seem to be able to play better football. And I think that could be to do with the way, you know, obviously a lot of the time when we're playing a lower opposition in Scotland, a lot of the teams park the bus, and it's very difficult to break teams down.
Celtic wouldn't do that, though.
In Europe, you get more time in the ball.
Yeah, but Celtic wouldn't do that, though.
No, but I still don't. I just don't know what it is. It's like we don't have this bottle to go and beat Celtic, you know. And I mean, I grew up during the 9-year era where we beat Celtic all the time. But there just seems to be this 2-3 year period where we can't seem to beat Celtic.
What do you think, Ross? Because it is 1-1 and 13 in the fixture for Rangers.
I would have to agree with what he's saying. I think there is a bigger chance that they beat Spurs than they go and win the cup final. But it's a one-off game, the cup final. I mean, I've never known so many Rangers fans going to an Old Firm game in my life and be thinking they're going to turn us over. It's ridiculous. It doesn't work like that. Like, we're talking about you don't get anything given in the Champions League. It's an Old Firm game. Celtic have still got to turn up. If they don't turn up, Rangers will beat them. Make no mistake about that. But I have to agree with them. I expect Rangers probably to put on a better show against Tottenham tomorrow night than they will do in the cup final, unfortunately for the Rangers fans on Sunday.
From your Celtic perspective then, Simon, let's spin it that way. Does the fact that it's only 1-1 and 13 in the fixture for Rangers, does that mean you expect to win as a Celtic fan? Is that how you would describe it? Or does nothing put you in that place?
I don't think anything really puts you in that place. No. I think you have to look at the teams. Celtic have been a lot better in recent times. That goes without saying. That's a given. But as Ross alludes to, it's a cup final. It's a one-off. You have to approach the game and forget, you know, the previous. I think the problem for Rangers is it's harder to put that to the back of your mind with the current run of, what is it, 1 game in 13. And Stuart talks about, he remembers the 90s that I was in that Celtic team, and it plays on your mind the longer...
You've tried to forget about them.
The longer it goes, well, until Stuart brought it up there. But the longer it goes in these games, there is a feeling, how can we beat them? And it takes a wee bit. I think Rangers have to be a bit more bold against Celtic. I think they go into the games and play safe at times. They've scored a few goals of late. That must give them a bit of confidence. Danilo and Hadji have had a positive impact. They'll come back in, I'd imagine, at the weekend. But I think...
Has your confidence shifted at all in the last couple of weeks, even by a couple of percent, just given that Rangers look a bit better than they were? And so,
I think it makes you a wee bit more wary, not resting your and getting too relaxed about it. And I think if Celtic go about their business on Sunday, then they take the trophy home.
Let's round this first hour off with a prediction, Stuart. Will you beat Spurs tomorrow?
Yes.
And will you win the cup?
I'm not going to say I'm going to rule my team out, because I wouldn't be much of a fan if I didn't believe we could beat them. But I just feel there's been this moment where they just cannot seem to get over the line against Celtic, and I hope Sunday we beat them, but we'll just may wait and see.
Good man, thank you very much to Stuart, which takes us up perfectly to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Forget Rangers Spurs, forget Cup Finals. The biggest match of the week is clearly Beat the Pundit tonight, and it lines close at 7 o'clock. So if you fancy it, it's 0141 951 1025. You have to be quick to take on Simon Donnelly or Ross McCormick. You could be up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here on 0141 951 1025. What a busy Wednesday this is. Looking back on Dinamo Zagreb 0, Celtic 0, assessing the performance, asking you if it's a good point or if it's a missed opportunity, wondering how it sets Celtic up for Sunday, and then of course previewing tomorrow. Ange Postecoglou back in Glasgow, Spurs under pressure, Rangers looking to get a famous result, and how does it set them up for Sunday? Give us a call on any of the above or anything else at all, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what you've got in your locker. Simon or Ross will take on Liam in Greenock. How's it going, Liam?
I'm not bad. How are you doing, gents?
All good. Is it your first time? Is it your debut on Beat the Pundit?
Yes, indeed.
Ross, have you played?
It could be my debut as
well.
I was
wondering. You've been in a couple of times.
Look at you changing the coin.
Game of the debuts.
No, it's still the chocolate coin that we've had to write H on. Foreheads. It's been like sellotaped and stuff. I don't know if somebody's bitten it.
Try to eat it.
It looks a bit dodgy, to be honest. But anyway, how's your form, Simon?
Good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. Three in a row, I think.
Okay, yeah. 82% win rate for you. Let's see. Liam, if it's heads, it will be Ross McCormick. And if it's tails, it will be Simon Donnelly. Oh, it's the first. It's the battle of the debutantes. What we do here is give Ross something else to listen to. 30 seconds, Liam. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep, okay.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. How many points does Celtic have in the Champions League?
9.
Who scored the most recent Old Firm goal?
Pass.
Name either team relegated from the Scottish Championship last season.
Inverness.
In what country did Ange Postecoglou manage before Scotland?
Japan.
How many statues are outside Ibrox?
Pass.
Brian Rice is currently assistant at which club?
Hamilton.
What stadium would you find on Gorgie Road?
Tynecastle.
Okay, let's bring him back. Ross McCormick, can you hear us? Are you ready, Ross, for your Beat the Pundit debut? Do you remember your debut, Simon?
In football or
not? Oh, this is much
no,
more important.
I remember being really... I'm still nervous doing it, to be honest. Yeah, bit of pressure on it.
Right, you ready, Ross?
Yes.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many points does Celtic have in the Champions League?
9.
Who scored the most recent Old Firm goal?
Maida.
Name either team relegated from the Scottish Championship last season.
I was just looking at them as well.
Quick
pass.
In what country did Ange Postecoglou manage before Scotland?
Japan.
How many statues are outside Ibrox?
2.
Okay. What's the verdict, Liam?
I think I might have just snuck it there.
Let's find out. Let's go through them. How did you find that? Nerve wracking?
It was, yeah.
This guy's played in
can only get better.
Big games everywhere. Played for his country.
Relegation.
Nervous wreck. Let's go through them. Celtic have 9 points. You dug it out, Liam. You knew it, of course, being a Celtic fan, so it's 1-1. I have genuinely see if there was like a genre of question, a type of question that I would struggle with. I think it's that, the most recent Old Firm goal. I mean, you think you would just know that?
I know.
Callum McGregor. I mean, even now that it says it, and then on my sheet,
I
just don't know if I can
remember it. I've got an excuse.
What's your excuse?
A little bit older than you.
No, but you, I don't know. It's a Celtic goal, but
nah. Callum McGregor, is it?
Anyway, either team relegated from the Championship last season. You had the choice of Arbroath or Inverness. Jordan got it, goes 2-1 in front. You both got Japan for Ange Postecoglou, so Jordan stays 1 in front. How many?
Who's Jordan?
Sorry?
Who's Jordan?
Oh, sorry, Jordan's on the other line. I'm just getting mixed up here. Too many names floating about the screen. Liam stays 1 in front. John Gregg and Walter Smith are the only two statues outside Ibrox. Equaliser for Ross McCormick. And you talk about trying to learn from your debut, though, Ross. Pace. It was all about pace.
Yep.
That's what's done you here. Because you've done it at this point.
It's the same as my career, I think.
Well, listen, I didn't want to make that joke, right? Because you were a brilliant player in claret and amber. But Liam had more time. Brian Rice is the assistant at, you got it wrong, it's Livingston. However, the last question, and you would have got this, Ross, if you just got there. What stadium would you find on Gorgie Road? It is Tynecastle, which, Liam, you showed good pace, you got more questions in, and it was enough to win you the signed ball. Well done to you, Liam.
What's the final score? 3-2?
4-3.
Take that.
I don't think that's that
bad.
You've got a hat-trick, yeah. Pass, don't you?
You need to go fast. Boom, through them. That's
the
it. And by the way, Liam, not only a signed ball, not only bragging rights, but 40 quid to Cash for Kids, thanks to the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures as well, who are putting a tenner for every correct listener answer during Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. Happy with that?
Aye, ideal.
Good man, Liam. The signed ball is on its way, and enjoy it. That was Liam. Before we let you go, Liam, what was your take on last night as a Celtic fan?
It wasn't fantastic, but aye, that's what it is.
Happy enough though, or does it still feel like a missed opportunity?
I'd rather 3 points, but I suppose getting out of everyone was the worst. But aye, I think missed opportunity to win.
Any performances that you didn't enjoy? Just an all round.
I was an all-round. I don't think there was one standout player, to be fair.
Yeah. Still confident for Sunday?
I think we'll get a job done. If Hatate turns up, I know he had a bit of an off night last night, but if we stick to what we do, then I think we should win.
You know, it's funny, because no doubt we'll do this Thursday, Friday for sure, but debates about team, I'm just waiting for the first Celtic fan to phone up and call for Luke McCowan to play, and then for me to forget that he's cup tied, because I think I've done it in every round, and I keep seeing it on Twitter, folks saying get McCowan in, that'll be tough, because he's played in the competition for Dundee. So that brings you back to Arnie Engels is there,
3 from 4.
Other than that, we'll see. We can have a good old debate about it in the next couple of nights. So 01419511025 before we bring in Jordan. Let's just react a little bit more to what Liam was talking about. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, who says he's still delighted with their points total after moving on, as you heard him beat the pundit, to 9 last night.
You know, if you looked in the old format and said we had 9 points after 6 games, you'd be so happy, especially how it's gone for us in the last numbers of years. So this group and team is gaining confidence at this level now, and obviously tonight, I think it tells everything that we were probably a little disappointed that we haven't won the game or certainly done more to win the game. But it wasn't through lack of effort or commitment. The players gave everything. You know, played on Saturday. We have had a short turnaround, travel, get to here to play on a Tuesday, and the players have given everything. But I was really pleased with the comfort of how, what we looked in the game, the bravery to take the ball, to dominate the ball. We just didn't quite go for us in the final third.
Let's go back to the phones. Spoiler, during Beat the Pundit, Jordan is on the other line, as I told you. Oh, he's there. Jordan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Good evening, panel. How are you doing?
I nearly introduced you early, Jordan. You nearly inadvertently got involved in Beat the Pundit, but you're here to make a point about Rangers tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Go on.
Evening, Ross and Simon.
Evening, Jordan.
I was just wondering, who do you think should start up front for Rangers tomorrow? Egerman or Dessers?
Ooh. Ross?
If it was me, I'd go for Dessers. Now, I'm going to stop short saying I'm a massive fan of Dessers, but I think he's been quite harshly dealt with, to be honest. You know, the goals that he scored this season as well, by the way, brought him back into the game in the semi-final, scored the equaliser away in France, and all of a sudden finds himself, what, third-choice striker, by the looks of it. I think tomorrow night for me it's Dessers. I think he's got the potential to cause a lot of problems to a young Archie Gray, to be honest. The way he backs in, he can spin and get a hold of him, almost bully him, if you want to say.
What makes you think
Egerman was quite aggressive in the last,
because the Rangers fans have been getting a bit excited, haven't they, because the last couple European of games they've scored more and Egerman's been part of it.
Do you play both?
Because Danilo can
Egerman wide left, yeah. Possibly, yes. I just think Dessers against young Archie Gray, just the way he's quite aggressive, isn't he? And as I said, I think he's been quite harshly dealt with. You've gone about the chances that he's missed, a lot of the chances that he's missed, he's probably created them himself.
What do you think, Jordan?
Go Egerman. I mean, the shades of the buffalo there, I think. I think the boys onto something. Changing it up, I don't think that's what the best thing to do. He started the last few games, so I would go with Egerman.
Well, you hope it's not the Buffalo. How long did it take him to score against Celtic?
That's true, but then Thursday nights came alive.
I thought Egerman looked lively in the last game. I'm forgetting who they played in Europe the last game. They scored the two.
Nice away here.
In the south of France. So I
think what's making Rangers maybe hard, it's not harder to predict, but there's more going on here, because this game's Thursday, obviously, which is, you know, 2 days closer to the cup final than Celtic were.
Yeah.
You've got Danilo and Hadji can't play tomorrow night, yeah. So there's no decision to be made there. They're definitely getting rested for Sunday. Does that mean they definitely come in on Sunday? And how is it all balanced up? You know, that, do you know what I mean? It's harder for Celtic, it's probably...
I think they've got better options in the last couple of weeks to 2 weeks than they had before. Because before that, they didn't have much. I think the Egerman lads came to the fore a little bit. He scored some goals. Hadji and Danilo have come in and been positive in the last two or three games domestically. So I think they've got more to think about in terms of who plays. But beforehand, it was just Dessers for a long period of time there. But I thought Egerman posed problems. He looks a bit raw, but
yeah, raw. But I got to admit, I like Egerman coming from a little bit deeper, yeah. Probably on the left. Right. I do, when he's, you know, he can come inside and he can run at people.
But we play both. Both, I think, tomorrow
night. Might be forced to.
Well, that's the thing. There is no Danilo, like we said. I mean, Jordan, how do you balance it up with Sunday? Do you rest certain players for tomorrow? Let's start with an obvious one. Do you play James Tavernier tomorrow? Do you play him on Sunday? Do you play him both? Does he play one or the other? How does that work?
I think we go with near enough the same team that we played at the weekend, apart from the obvious two that can't play, Danilo and Hadji. I think Tav probably will start. It's a big game, and I think it might be just too big a game to throw somebody else in there.
Yeah, I wonder, because generally we were in a place where it looked like he would be getting used less anyway. See, like you know, there's the form argument, there's the fact that Philippe Clement had said he wanted to rotate things a bit more. Casemiro's not fit, we think Sterling is, as far as we know. Ben, you throw into the mix, he has a bad memories of playing Dyes in Maeda, multiple. So, think he starts both?
I think he does, yeah. Yeah. I think he's got to. I think the argument with Tav was get him out of the team when he was massively out of form. Well, he scored a couple of goals in the last few games, so yeah. He's coming back into form. So, do you take him out of the team when he's coming into form? I don't think
so. It certainly brings something to Rangers as a goal threat as well. I know people say, well, he's a right back and stuff, but he brings such a goal threat going forward. He just needs to stay concentrated at the back. It's easier said than done, as it's been shown against Celtic in recent times, because Maeda has had the better of him. I think you would go with him in both games as well.
I've said it for a long time. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but against Celtic, three at the back with Tav wing back, because you can get the cover from a centre half coming across. Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. I think people generally wouldn't disagree with that. You just kind of know it's not going to happen, don't you? You know they're just not teams, and they're not going to implement it within a couple of days out of nowhere. I mean, Jordan, he is in better form now, but I feel like the night of the last game against Celtic, everybody would say he cannot play against Maeda again, cannot happen again. But now people are saying he should. So I wonder why that is.
Probably because he's more on form than he was the last time he played against Maeda. I mean, is the other option the best option at the moment? I mean, as I think it was Ross that just said there, he has scored a few goals. He is more on form than when he was a few weeks ago. So, I mean, isn't the point of being a manager picking the best players in the best form at the time? So,
could he be rested tomorrow?
Probably the reason.
Could he be rested tomorrow with that in mind?
But do you not pick the best players at the best time? I know. There's only 2 days in between the games, but I mean, I think we faced this problem before a couple of years ago. We played in Europe. I think we played terrible. I can't remember the result, and then we went on to beat Celtic on the Sunday. I think it was maybe under Steven Gerrard. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I do remember going to the Braga game, and everyone thought Rangers were going to be knackered, and then Rangers were the ones that won the game at the weekend. Let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement then on the sort of topic of juggling these games. He's been speaking today. He says all of the focus is on the Europa League game against Tottenham. That's despite the League Cup final taking place on Sunday.
I don't want to talk about that now. I only want to talk about Tottenham. Now all the focus in all the club needs to be on Tottenham. Otherwise, we're going to lose energy, we're going to lose time for the wrong reasons now.
I get that, and that's fine if you're talking about focus, but managers do think about their team. They just do. That's why this has become a bugbear of mine. I'm becoming a bit repetitive. The one game at a time stuff is just, it's kind of false. I know what they mean focus-wise, but they don't do it. We spoke about this last week. You know, when we were picking the Celtic team,
for Luke McCowan in the three games.
You can tell what managers are doing.
He'll have an idea in his head. I think obviously the focus is tomorrow. I think Ross touched on it earlier on. If you go into the Tottenham game, say they were to take a heavy defeat tomorrow, it's no ideal prep getting into a final. I know people say finals take care of themselves and stuff, but it would be a confidence blow.
I also don't believe in this one, that resting. You're trying to tell me that these athletes in this day and age, they've got the best recovery, best sports science, can't play two games
in
3 days.
But evidence tells you that for whether it's right or wrong, managers are doing it all over the place.
They're doing it, but it's an eye test for me. You know, they'll have a recovery day the day after the game, and then have a light session going into the cup final. They can 100% go again Sunday, 1,000,000%.
Thank you very much to Jordan. And 01419511025 is the number that you need. If you give us a call right now, we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here. Still plenty of time, about half an hour left to get your calls in, whether that's Celtic last night, Rangers and Spurs tomorrow. Any Spurs fans out there, actually? Don't think that's too much of an ask, is it? There must be some. Why not give us a call and let us know how you're feeling about things? Is the pressure
supposedly that Ange Postecoglou is under. Is that accurate? Is it getting overblown? Is it maybe worse than we realise up here? Do let us know if you're a Spurs fan. It would be nice to hear from you as well. Any Hearts fans want to look ahead to tomorrow's game in Copenhagen? We're here for you. Or anything else at all, just give us a shout on 0141 951 1025. Before we do that, I've got a full time teaser for you. A bit different this one, because it's actually team names, teams that we're looking for,
right,
rather than the usual players. So my only advice to you is, for my and everyone else's sanity, don't just shout out random teams, because then you could name every team in Scotland and you'll get it eventually.
Right. The Dazzle's no one.
Exactly. So thanks to Jamie Hendry for sending this in. He says, as it's European football this week, since the 90s began, can you name the five Scottish teams that have only played one European tie? So there are five Scottish teams since the start of the 90s that have played one European tie. That is it. So they've qualified for Europe, straight back out again, never to be seen. Any that spring to mind? Any that might? You know, so you're looking obviously at so-called smaller teams, maybe that got to a cup final.
Raith Rovers.
No.
Did they play two then?
That's a good shout. Actually, they played Bayern Munich, didn't they?
Must have beat somebody.
And Gordon Deal left just before it.
They must have beat somebody before then.
That's a good shout. Actually, I wonder if they did play someone else.
So they're not on it. Cali Thistle won the Scottish Cup. Did they?
Well done. They played Astra in 2015.
Wow.
Raith have played six games in Europe, Simon. How dare you?
I know. Sorry, Raith Rovers fans.
Sorry, Raith Rovers fans. Sorry, Gordon DL.
Cali Thistle's won. Right,
Ross, okay. Well done. So that's the gist of it, isn't it? You're looking at the so-called smaller teams that have made cup finals or won the cup or mostly kind of made finals, really.
Can I maybe try another one?
One more.
Some people might not think. Ground shared with Motherwell when I was at Motherwell. Is that another one?
Gretna.
Dr. Disher.
That's right, yeah, Kenny. Yeah. I went to the game because they played it at Fir Park. Yeah. So me and my mate sort of just go up. I think Derry absolutely battered them as well, I think, at Fir Park. Anyway, we'll leave it there because you're nearly done. It's a short question tonight. Since the start of the 90s, five Scottish clubs that have played in one European tie. Let's see if you can beat these two to the answers. And if you want to send your question in, just like Jamie did tonight, that's the whole point. If you've never heard it, the whole point of the full-time teaser is you come up with the questions. So send it in full-time at Clyde1.com. Craig is a Rangers fan. What are you thinking tomorrow and Sunday, Craig? What does the package look like?
I think it's... tomorrow's a really tricky game when you look at it as Spurs, but it depends what Spurs turn up, because they've been hot and cold this season, to be honest. And then Sunday that's just who turns up on the day, I think.
Can Rangers be the one that turn up?
Yes, I think they can.
Why will this one be
with
different?
The way we've seen them recently, they seem to have turned a corner, I hope so, but you never know with Rangers as well.
Guys were talking before, and by the way, I think everyone agrees with Ross in that players should be able to play Thursday and then play Sunday, but just in modern football it never really works like that. Do you think, will we get clues to Sunday's team in tomorrow night's team, if that makes sense?
Well, no, because there's some players who aren't available for tomorrow night, like Hadji and
Danilo,
things like that. So that's two different. I would like to see Hadji play Sunday, definitely, because I've been singing his praises for a long time, and I think he's a great player. He's just been unfortunate with injuries and stuff, but I think he's one of the most technically gifted and creative players in that squad.
He seems to have, well, you know, his Rangers upturn form has coincided with Yanis Hadji coming back in. Seems to have made a difference.
Yeah, I think the thing with Hadji is, I think Rangers need to be careful with that one. If they play him in a number 10, they could go overrun in there, especially when we spoke about earlier, Greg Taylor coming into the midfield. They end up with Taylor, McGregor, Bernardo, Hatate against Hadji, Barron and Raskin. That's a recipe for trouble, that. But I totally agree. Yeah, their upturn in fortunes has coincided with his return. I just think I would probably, if I was Philip Clement, I'd go a little bit stronger in there.
Yeah, I have seen that said, Craig. Is there any danger that does get overrun, or do Rangers need to just kind of try and go on the front foot, try and be the ones that create things, and
and sort of not change the team to try and stop Celtic, basically?
Yeah, I think Rangers need to go front foot, because whenever we sit back and try and, I don't know, stand off Celtic, that's when they take us apart. So there's no point in doing that. And Celtic are very good attacking, but in defensive, I think there is certain aspects of our game that can be picked off and we can actually take it as an advantage. But as soon as you start doing that, then you're opening yourself up for the other side. But I think John Souter has been really good. Hopefully Leon Balogun plays on Sunday. And I think it's just, you need to go for it. There's no point in sitting back.
Yeah, it must be frustrating for... Well, frustrating, I suppose that's what managers are there for, Simon, but I don't think Rangers have only sat back against Celtic. I think there was the game earlier in the season where they really went after Celtic at the start.
Never took chances.
And once Celtic picked through them once, it sort of all fell apart. There's this notion that they always sit off. They don't always sit off Celtic. So they've tried that. They have tried sitting off. They have tried going for it. Where is the balance between a team playing to their strengths and trying to stop the opponent?
Well, like I said earlier on the show, I think if it was me, I'd be bold. Need something to happen in one of these games. It's a final, it's a one-off. But as I say, we discussed in the break there as well, I think there's a fragility there with Rangers that if Celtic get ahead in the game, they'll think, here we go again, kind of thing. So it is a balance. But what I would say is, with Hadji, he brings an energy. We spoke about it earlier in the season because he wasn't in the running for a game. He brings an energy. His attitude's been good. He's got back in there and he brings something different to the Rangers' front line.
How are you feeling about the fixture tomorrow, Craig? Yeah, Ange Postecoglou, that adds a bit. He's a former Celtic manager, of course. It's a, you know, there's the kind of Battle of Britain that we sometimes call these ties as well. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, as I said, I think Spurs are one of the teams. It depends what Spurs turn up tomorrow, because they've had their good games. They've had their bad. I mean, against Bournemouth, they were at sixes and sevens. They just didn't look like they knew what they were doing. But then they just beat Man City 4-0 not long before that. So it's like, it's hard to judge what Spurs will be there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the week.
We'll have them up.
Yeah, the weekend, Ross, is like Chelsea are excellent. Chelsea have got some brilliant players, so I don't know if that gives you that much hope. But as Craig says, they have shown some pretty ropey performances in games like Bournemouth. Was it Fulham as well? Brighton are pretty good, to be fair. But
even for as bad as everyone thinks they were, obviously against Chelsea, they were phenomenal for the first however long.
They could quite easily win. They get 2-0 pushing for a third. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the criticism, but I would much rather be 2-0 try to get kill the game. You know, folk were saying, oh, sit back. I think for tomorrow, Rangers will probably look at the back line in a positive way if they're missing their two centre-backs. But it's the guys going the other way. If he chooses to play all these guys, Kulusevski, Son, Solanke,
Werner. Is Werner like the sort of European version of Daizen Maeda?
He's not
kind of like that. But he's mostly
not too
about,
different, is he?
He's mostly about, he's running. Yeah.
Even the way when he's going down to the byline, the way he shifts the ball, he sort of half goes inside a little bit and then takes it. He's similar to Maeda, but not even him. They've got a young boy called Mikey Moore there at Tottenham. He's special, special. Yeah. You listen to Madison talk about him as well. He says he's like a man at his age. I think he'll probably play on tomorrow night. Listen, regardless who plays, they're going to be a threat all over, aren't they? That's not what everyone's saying it's a good time to play Spurs for. It's for the chances that they give up at the other side.
What about Archie Gray, who is a name we obviously know, comes from Scottish footballing stock, albeit I think he's sort of on track to play for England. Was it Leeds? You're our Leeds man, and he might play centre half tomorrow. Is that a boost for Rangers?
You would have to say so, yes. It's not his position. I think he's played there a couple of times lately when a couple of people have got injured. But like I was saying earlier, and remember we were talking about what striker we would play, and I was saying I would give Dessers the nod, because what I think that he could do to a young Archie Gray could give him a hard night.
Did he ever play there for Leeds?
He didn't actually know. I He played more or less a full season last season at right back, and to be honest, he was phenomenal. But the full team, more or less, he couldn't. It was hard for him to get into centre midfield because actually a guy who a lot of people, a lot of Rangers fans says wasn't good enough, Glenn Kamara. He was phenomenal at Leeds. Got a move to, was it Nice in France or something like that. But yeah, I think if Archie plays centre back tomorrow night, I think it's definitely an area that Rangers have got to get at. But that's not the worrying part for me. It's
going
if,
the other way.
If these guys turn up, then it could be a long night.
Yeah.
I mean, Craig, we spoke about it earlier, it's going to be Ibrox on a Thursday night and the atmosphere should be great, and Ange Postecoglou and everything that goes along with it. Rangers don't need a win in the sense that they've got 10 points already. Does that change anything for you?
It takes the pressure off a bit. I mean, nobody would expect us to beat Spurs at the start of the competition regardless. Same as like Celtic would have probably took at the start of the competition a draw last night. But things change. But I would say our problem is we don't have Danilo, which he's been looking really good recently. We don't have Hadji, who's been looking really good recently. But we do have Eggerman, and hopefully between him, Cherny, Baron, and Rathian starting to look like the player that we thought it could be. I'm hoping we can get a result, but it's one of the ones that's... You wouldn't have put money on it at the start of the tournament, put it that way.
I was going to say, how much has your opinion on tomorrow night's outcome shifted since that draw was made? Everyone was going, oh, this could, you know, it could be anything. Changed a bit?
Yeah, possibly. Just because of the hot and cold nature of Spurs. And that comes, we see that within games as well. But I just look at the going forward, it depends who they play. Depends who they play. But I think the Rangers fans' frame of mind might have changed as well. We talk about the final at the weekend. In the last 2 weeks, they've started scoring goals. They've got another good result at Nice. Started scoring goals domestically. So their frame of mind might have changed a wee bit as well. And it's the Battle of Britain. You know, it's one of those ones again where the atmosphere will be electric tomorrow at Ibrox, so let's wait and see.
Let's hear from both managers. Philippe Clement is convinced these Rangers players can make memories to last a lifetime against Tottenham tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, but that's what we like. That's what we love. That's what we want here also. For the players, these are very challenging and really nice evenings that they can write history. That's why players want to play for Rangers also. Everything can be bridged in one night. And those are also the best nights. If you then perform and you get the results, those are also the nights that you remember all of your life. Those are also the moments that, as a player, you remember your teammates really well. The moments of success, the moment of doing something special. So I hope the players can give themselves and as a team a special night tomorrow.
And what about Ange Postecoglou then? The former Celtic manager says he's looking forward to returning to Ibrox and knows exactly what to expect from the home crowd.
Yeah, no, it's obviously significant. For a couple of reasons, obviously when the draw came out, it was the one that was most of interest to me because of, I guess, my history up here. And, looking forward to it. When I was up here, particularly in my first year, I mean, they made the Europa League final, so I got a pretty clear idea of how challenging it is to play them here in front of that crowd and the atmosphere. I think you know what kind of reception I'll get. I loved it, and I enjoyed them all. I enjoyed the atmosphere and... you know, like I said, European nights here. You know, it's going to be something that you want to be a part of. You know, and hopefully overcome.
Well, we'll see how it pans out tomorrow. Graham's on Twitter. He says he's got his two teams for Thursday and Sunday. He says Thursday's a free hit. Rest a few players and hope for an injury-free night. And then on to Sunday, it says Sterling would cope better with Maeda. If we go out and attack Celtic, you see how they need to try and deal with opposition causing a threat. So we'll see what happens. Thank you for Graham, for Graham's tweet. And to those of you getting in touch, still time to do so on the phones. What about your teaser? Can you name the five teams, Scottish teams since the 90s, who've played one tie and one tie only in Europe? Gretna and Inverness. Ross has got them both. Do you want to join in, Simon, at any
really
stage?
I'm struggling to join in, to be honest.
So every team you think of, you can think of more than one tie they've played, basically. Is that
pretty much?
Is that the trap you're falling into? Come on, Ross, this has been right up your street so far for some unknown reason.
they not necessarily won it, so they maybe got to the final and...
That would be a good route to go down. It's Livingston's not won.
Cootney the South?
Yes. They played Rangers, didn't they?
Yeah.
In the final.
Who'd they play in Europe?
Is it Norgelander? I can't remember how my my pronunciation's not great.
Aye, I know what you mean.
Something along those lines. Anyway, Norgelander. Hugh Keevans went to cover it. I remember he always tells me for the paper. But anyway, we'll do the rest of the answers after these.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pearce.
Right, I'm starting to get stern about this now. I'm starting to give you a row if you've not done it yet, because this time tomorrow, pretty much, you'll have missed your chance. You will have missed your chance to win tickets to the cup final. Do not leave it until the deadline, which is 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. Just do it right now. Do not leave it to chance, because as you know, Celtic take on Rangers in the League Cup final, and you could be there thanks to Cash for Kids. We've got a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for Celtic fans and a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for Rangers fans. All you have to do is enter our raffle. So if you're a Celtic fan, text Celtic to 84901, or Rangers, it's Rangers to 84901. And the beauty of this is the text costs one standard network rate message plus a £10 donation to Cash for Kids, and every penny of that goes right back to help the children in our communities that really need your help. So it's a really worthwhile cause. It's over 18s only. T's and C's on the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. Remember, it's 84901. Text Celtic if you're a Celtic fan, or Rangers to 84901, and we wish you the best of luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Ross McCormick are here. They've got a full-time teaser to keep them occupied, and it's a good one. They're nearly there. We're looking for, thanks to Jamie, who sent the question, Jamie Hendry, can you name the five teams since the 90s who have played one European tie? Scottish teams, the five teams since the 90s from Scotland have played one European tie. Gretna, Inverness and Queen of the South. Did you get any during the break?
Well, we both scribbled it down, funnily enough. But Falkirk.
Yes. Played FC Vaduz. Vaduz, is it, in the UEFA Cup in 2009? Okay, one to get. We'll get it before the end. I'm absolutely sure of it. Jamie's on the line. How are you, Jamie?
Hi there, how we doing, guys?
So you're a Celtic fan in London, Jamie?
I am. Well, I'm a Celtic fan that lived in London for years. I now live in Margate, which is a little bit down by the sea.
Oh, very nice. Is the reaction to last night any different down there than it is up here?
Well, I'm part of a Celtic supporters group in Ramsgate, the Ramsgate Emerald supporters group. And yeah, they've got a WhatsApp group. They've all been talking about the game and stuff like that. It's a really strange thing to be unhappy with a draw away in Europe. Do you know what I mean? I mean, over the years, it's always been so so hard watching Celtic away in Europe. But to be unhappy with a point away from home, it as Brendan says, it shows how far we've came, really, you know.
And does it come from the fact that you're all still comfortable about what, you know, if that was a failure to win that brought with it a fear that you don't qualify, then maybe things are different. But I take it everyone's relaxed because you think you can get the job done in the next two games.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I think we all know there's no easy games. We fell into a bit of a trap where we thought Club Brugge coming to Celtic Park was going to take care of itself, but I was actually really impressed with Club Brugge. I thought they were so organised. We tried to press them. They beat our press. I mean, we got away. I mean, they could have won that game, really. So I think if we go into the game against Young Boys thinking that it's taken care of, we will lose that game. The standard is still very high at this level.
See, with a view to Sunday, Jamie, has it changed anything? Are there any players that, I don't know, say as an example, on Monday afternoon, there were some players you thought, well, they'll definitely play in the cup final against Rangers, but maybe they didn't impress too much the other night. Has Tuesday night changed anything with regards to Sunday?
Hatate remains a mystery to me. We understand how important Hatate can be. He can be a match winner. We saw his recent performances. He can be absolutely incredible. But the amount of times he gives the ball away in games, for instance, like the other night, the amount of times he just, almost like the other team are building attacks off of his mistakes, he drives me a bit mad, Tati, but at the same time, he can be incredible, so it's always a really difficult one. I've been so impressed with McCowan when he came in. He's just got that kind of dig sometimes that you need. If I saw him starting...
No, he's cup-tied. Don't, he's cup-tied. We worried about this earlier. Because I thought I would be the first one to forget about it. But yeah, he's cup-tied. Having said that, Simon, sometimes what you're looking for, because it can happen when you've got a strong squad, if a player comes on and makes a big impact. But I don't know if that really happened either last night, did it?
In terms of somebody impressing to start at the weekend? No, but I think it was a
difficult game.
The team weren't performing well. It's easier to come on if things are clicking. Things didn't. I mean, James Forrest plays a fantastic ball into Engels for the cutback that it get cancelled out before it could get through to Eder. If that goes in, you know, Celtic probably win the game, and you're thinking, you know, positive impact for the subs again, but it never. I think the team pretty much will pick itself at the weekend. I'm just thinking about it. I think the midfield will be McGregor, Bernardo and Hatate. I think Engels will start on the bench again.
What do you think?
I've got to agree with that. You can't, a few games ago, everyone calling for Engels to be removed and all of a sudden now they want him back in and get Hatate. You can't.
We are very knee-jerk here though, aren't we?
Yeah, but I also think, especially more in this country, I think it's a lot of the times the player who's not starting, when he doesn't start, he becomes a better player.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Jamie, I'm just wondering if the stars are going to align here. I'm just thinking about where you are in the world and your former manager. You're going to tell me your English team's Spurs, aren't you?
You better believe it is.
What have they only, as of this week?
No, not of it. I promise not of this week. Basically, in Margate, a load of my pals that I play football with and stuff, there's quite a lot of Spurs fans in my local boozer as well. It's run by one of my pals is a Spurs fan. So I kind of always kind of looked out for them, you know.
Then Ange joined.
When Ange joined, the way that he left Celtic as a hero, I love Ange Postecoglou and I remain like, in love with the man. So... To see him go to Spurs, such an impossible job at Spurs. I mean, I remember hearing something on the telly, this Spurs fan was talking, he said, we're the only team that could be 5-0 up at half-time and go, do you know what, I take a draw here. They just seem to be this team that, to go to that next level, they can struggle. And Ange looks a little bit downbeat in interviews and stuff like that, I feel for him, but I'll be a Spurs fan tomorrow night. You better believe
I'm sure you will. There's absolutely no doubt.
Hopefully they can beat them and rattle Rangers' confidence even more. So going into Sunday and the weekend, it helps us a wee bit more, you know.
Or what if Rangers win and put Ange under real job-fearing pressure? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a night at Ibrox, Spurs under pressure, Van de Ven out, Romero out. If they've ever got a chance of beating Spurs with recent results and stuff like that, with the atmosphere you get at Ibrox, Rangers do have a chance. But as we've seen, Spurs can score goals, and that's going to be it could be a high scoring game potentially. It could be an entertaining one.
Yeah, I suppose that would be great for the neutral. Or is there going to be such a thing as a neutral watching it tomorrow? I don't know if that's the way it works here.
Many neutrals aren't in this city anyway, of Scotland. But I think it will be an exciting game though. I think there will be plenty of goals in it.
Looking forward to it. Not as much as Jamie, honestly, Spurs fan. I've heard all.
The Beano to Margate, that was only Fools and Horses on it. Was that Margate? That's where they went.
You've lost me. No, I mean, I'm aware of the show, I just don't know it enough. Is he right, Jamie? You heard of that?
He is, and do you know what? I've lived there for so long, I can do like a bit of a stabbing like an accent, mate. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, I've moved there when I was much younger, so I reckon I can...
Still, boy.
If you didn't know, you'd think I was from South East London. Do you know what I'm saying?
On that note, you've not got a Leeds accent in you, Ross. I was going to say, don't think you've got that up your sleeve. Thank you very much to Jamie, the Spurs and Celtic fan. What a chance, eh? Brilliant. That's a good note to end on that, actually. So thank you very much to everyone who called. What about your teaser? Are you looking for the five Scottish teams since the 90s who've played one European tie? So all kind of similar, obviously got to a cup final or whatever. Falkirk, Gretna, Inverness, Queen of the South.
He thinks he's got it, possibly.
I'm going to go
What did you say?
Do you say he would go the other team from the Highlands?
It's not Ross County.
It's not Ross County, right? Give us clues.
You Wait, should get it.
I should get
it's
it.
It's you that should get it. He's done his hard bit. He's given some good answers. It is you specifically that should get this one.
Johnson.
Nope.
Is a Celtic legend the manager?
Nope. I'm just thinking because you faced them in a cup final. Did you not? Or tell me you played.
Pals?
Did you not? Mid-90s, who did Celtic beat in the cup?
Airdrie.
Airdrie.
Is it Airdrie?
1992 though, so around that time they were.
Ah, right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Airdrie.
Because they played...
Sparta Prague.
Yeah, but they played... Rangers that cup final.
And in fact, is there not? And I can't believe I'm leaving it without the time to check. What's the great fact about the Airdrie Sparta Prague? Is it not Pavel Nedved's debut?
What was it?
In football.
Was it?
It was against Airdrie. I don't know, right? Someone can tell me. I might have made that up, but we'll find out tomorrow night. What a night in store. You can hear us at 6 and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.